Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Betsy Fletcher, and I welcome you to another mother-daughter roundtable, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. It's a great day. Every Saturday morning I get up and get excited. You know, just knowing that I'm speaking to mothers and daughters around the world. Fathers and sons are on there too, listening. And we're connecting through thought, the spirit, the godly connection. Father God, this morning we just thank you. Another opportunity to come forth, share our thoughts. Father God, I release myself to you, my mind, my body, my words, so that you could use me to glorify yourself by speaking to mothers and daughters around the world. Father God, in being able to help heal the family, since we know that the nurturer is the mother. Everybody loves their mother. Mothers have the opportunity to set the tone for the entire family. And mothers reproduce daughters and which is the father. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to serve. Thank you. I asked you to forgive me this morning. My voice is a little scratchy. Did a lot of talking yesterday and last night. We had a mother and daughter bonding session. Yesterday from, I guess, 6, and we did not get out of there until about 10:30. Actually, we were supposed to end at 9. But when mothers and daughters are being healed, there is no process, there is no timing on the process. The spirit just takes over and it does what it does. Had a large group of mothers and daughters there, and I want to thank OIC and their staff for inviting us to come, mothers, the mother and daughter bonding organization, to come in to work with their clients. It was absolutely a wonderful opportunity, wonderful dinner. Mothers and daughters were beautiful, and a lot of healing took place. Any of you ever been to a mother and daughter workshop? I hate to call it workshop, but they do a lot of interaction with each other, and there are some workshop techniques. But it's a spiritual healing that takes place in that relationship. It's the reconnecting of the bond between the mother and daughter. And when that takes place, to me, it's like a new birth. And I'm there each time, and I see it, and each one is different. I'm just amazed at how the process takes place. And every time, the Holy Spirit comes in, and mothers and daughters are healed. I mean, it's just amazing. So when you hear about mothers and the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network coming to your town, get ready, because you're going to experience something that you probably have never experienced before, how the Holy Spirit moves in a mother and daughter relationship. For the new people that are coming on, I'm Reverend Dr. Betsy Fletcher, and I'm your host this morning on Blog Talk Radio, Mother and Daughter Roundtable, where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. I want to thank all the listeners. I know, like I said on Saturday morning, you get up, you join me. You don't have to do it, but you do, and Lord knows I appreciate it. It just makes me feel good when I get up and I can see somebody on the line with me. You know, I'm like, Lord, I know it's me, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And And, you know, and that's all it needs to be. But we're here for a purpose, and our purpose is to reach you. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for getting up in the mornings, on Saturday mornings with me. Like I said before, we're on Blog Talk Radio. Some people listening to us via the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com via their computer, and others are listening to us on the phone. And I think, you know, we got such unique technology these days. There's no reason for a person not to be informed or get any information they need. The internet has provided the link that will connect us all around the world. Everybody can be doing the same thing at the same time and connect in spirit by getting on the internet. On the phone, you can call us at 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078. You listen to the conversation. Like you want to talk to us, you want to share something, you click one, it will prompt me, and then I will get to you as soon as I possibly can. Don't be impatient with newcomers. We do a lot of talking in the beginning, that I catch you up with the conversation, and then we begin the conversation again. Okay? So you don't feel like you'll be lost in the conversation. I go back and I start to give you the background for the conversation so that you'll be mentally with us. A stimulating topic this morning is mothers and daughters writing their dream recipe part 3. When I say part 3, of course, you know those part 1, part 2. We're talking about dream recipe. We're talking about writing your dream. We're talking about birthing that baby dream that's inside of you, the one that you're carrying around, the one that you don't want to tell anybody about, the one that you feel like maybe somebody will laugh at you, the one that you think that I'm just too old. And so there's no need for me to try. And you are so wrong. You are so wrong. Sarah had a baby at 90. And if you're nowhere close to 90, how can you dare say you're too old to try to birth a baby that's inside of you, that baby dream? So think about that. Don't talk yourself out of your dream. And every mother, you know that having a baby is not a party. It is definitely labor. It is intense. And you go through, but you come out on the other side. So no matter what you're doing now, keep in mind you're in the middle of the labor. You are laboring. You're going to feel the pain, the effect. And how many times have you want to just stop in the middle of having that baby, to just forget it? I don't want to go any farther. I'm tired. I can't take no more. But they say, no, come on, keep breathing, keep breathing. You're getting there. You're almost there. Just think, your angels are on the side of you saying, come on, keep coming, keep breathing. You're getting there. Don't stop. Because every time you stop, the process stops. But once you start back, the process start again. So just keep breathing. Keep bearing the pain. But know there is a delivery. Just keep your eyes on the prize. There will be a delivery. That's what we're talking about. All right. I got a little bit more into that than I should have at this time. But let me tell you, I want to thank all my partners, everybody that even just give me a hello. Wave their hands. I want to thank you because everything is encouraging to me. I'm birthing a baby here. I have so many babies inside of me. I have the baby television, the baby radio, the baby magazine, the baby nurturing, the baby website, you know, the baby clients. You name it. I'm birthing a lot of babies. And can you imagine having 6 babies, 7 babies, all at one time? It's a lot of pain. It's a lot to go through. But you know what? I know that I'm going to come out on the other side. I'm okay with it. I wasn't for a while. Oh, I was fighting. I did not want to go through. I was like, ah, why can't this happen now? Why can't I just have this baby now, Lord? Just let me have it. And I know what to do with it, but I didn't know what to do with it. You know, God knows what you could do. So I'm still going through, but I can tell you the pain is not as painful as it used to be. It's getting a little lighter and a little lighter, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm getting ready to birth baby. So think about it. You can also join us at www.mdbn.org. That's M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in bonding, N as in network.org. Go to our website. You can see some of the updates that we're doing. Keep following us. We're coming your way. Or you can call us at 786-462-6470. 786-462-6470. Leave us a message and someone will call you back as soon as possible. Again, our topic today, part 3, mothers and daughters writing their dream recipe. The newcomers, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, I'm your host, and please go by my website at www.askdrbessieshow.com. That's Dr. Bessie. show.com. Listen to a couple of the radio programs and you go to listen, and if it says watch, click on and watch the trailer of a mother that had 9 babies. All 9 of them died and she had a 10th baby, Sarah. You don't want to miss that story, so I won't tell you any more than that. Go listen to it. I'll go look at it. Voice is coming. All right. Let's see here. We are in October. Next month, on the 12th, we are going on a cruise. We are going to cruise out to Mexico. We are going to go to the Holy Land in Orlando, Florida. And that pretty much takes care of our event for the year of 2012. But the calendar that's on our regular website is completely full for next year. So go and look at some of the things that we're doing and prepare to join us. We would appreciate that. Okay? Where we are, we have some new people that just came on our topic today. Mothers and daughters writing their dream recipe, part 3. Let's see, I don't want to jump too far. Oh, I also want to thank the friends of the Mother and Daughter Bonding Faith Ministries and Florida Technical College. They have partnered with us. They have allowed us to utilize their space, working with mothers and daughters. And I encourage you to go to their website and look at the things that they are doing. It's Florida Technical College here in Pines Boulevard in Hollywood, Florida. Look at things that they're doing. Very connected, I mean, ready to help non-traditional school, private school, so they can do things a little different than your state school, and they are doing things. So there's no excuse for you not to go to school, none whatsoever. And I'll give you a little more information about that before. Welcome my co-hosts today, Sandra D., Cynthia Oliver, and Janice Paldo. Have not looked at the switchboard, so I don't know if they are there. But if they are, you know, I'll get back to them. Okay, that's where we are now. Our year has been based on hidden secrets in the family. And it has been interesting. I can't believe we're in October. Seems like we just started this series in a couple weeks ago almost, let alone a few months. You know, we've been talking about hidden secrets from many different aspects. You know, we're talking about forgiveness, unforgiveness, the effect of pride and denial and guilt. We have gone through so many processes. We've talked about the intro conversation, how work for progress from within, the role of a mother, running your race, part one and part two, and mother and daughter relationships, and the expiration of those relationships. All those things incorporated the thread of hidden secrets, because somewhere along there, there's always something that someone tell you, well, don't say nothing about this. You know, whatever happens in the house, stay in the house. And what you're doing is training your child to lie. You know, and you really don't realize that's what you're doing. And then when they lie to you, then you really want to kill them. You know, you're just so upset. And that's part of the topic we talked about last night. When I said that, what are you doing? You're training your child, and one mother said, to lie. And I thought, I didn't want to say it, but you know, I knew. And she said, I said, yeah, that's right. You're training them to lie. But you think when you tell them this is a secret, and then when someone approach your daughter in a sexual way and tell your daughter, well, don't say that because this is a secret. Well, you've trained her how to be successful at keeping a secret because she's kept your secret. And you don't realize you're setting your child up for failure. But that training, she knows, my mother said, because a child will believe their mother. Whatever you say to that child, she's going to believe you. Why not? You're her mother. You're the only person that she knows, the closest person that she knows. Not saying that the father's not there, but what is a girl? She spent more time with her mother than she does with her father in most cases. So you have a great advantage for input into her life. And whatever you say has the effect. Now last night we were there, I'm telling you, we had a room full of teenagers and their mothers. And I was so, so very happy. I really, really was, because it just, beautiful, beautiful mother and daughters sitting there. They were all dressed beautifully, expecting, you know, there was dinner and the whole nine yards. But when we got down to the actual conversation, it was a lot of hurting teenagers, a lot of hurting. We could have stayed there to 12 o'clock and still probably would not have touched the surface of the things that was going on. The mother sitting there in awe looking at the teenagers, and all of the teenagers was crying. They were crying. Their hearts were broken. And when they were looking in the mother's eyes, and I said, well, how did that feel? And all of them said, I was happy. Somebody ever said I was happy. I thought, well, why is everybody? I even said, why? Why are you all saying happy? What is happy? What does that mean? I was happy. I haven't looked in my mother's eyes. When was the last time you looked in your mother's eyes? I don't know. I think you had two mothers say, we do this quite often. You sit and talk. We look at each other. But for the majority of them, and the room was full, they wasn't used to it. They was not used to it. And it broke them down. And there was the little young lady there at the end when we was talking about what is it that you want your mother to do, and, you know, the one request. I'm assuming she was about 9 years old. She looks smaller for nine, okay, like maybe seven, but I'm going to give her nine. She said, respect. She gave me respect. And the mother looked at her, and we all went, whoa. I told the mother, I said, you need to call Aretha. But she said, that's a respect. Because I could tell, I mean, they were so absolute. She was dressed so cute. I mean, you know, you could just tell everything was polished. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, you look like she gives you respect. And I said, what do you mean by respect? And she said, for all three of us. Well, she looked at her sister, which is the older sister, and then said, all three of you. And then the other sister said, well, we have another sister. I said, oh, okay. She said, all three of us girls. She need to give us more respect because she gives our brother all the respect. Well, see, the mother didn't realize that. You know, sometimes mothers can dote on those sons and think the girl's just going to be okay. For whatever reason, the mother got the message, and she was like, I need some more respect in this thing. Like, so you never know what they're thinking until you have that honest conversation. And that may have sounded cute, but that was not cute at all. She was serious about that, and the mother got that. Because that's how you lose respect with your children. Because you don't realize they're thinking that you're not giving them the respect, so why should I give it to you? Because they're having a conversation within their head. And you say, well, Dr. Fletcher, what does that have with writing your dream recipe? It has everything with writing your dream recipe. Because you write a dream recipe not only for yourself, but you're writing a dream recipe for your relationship with your daughters, for your relationship with your husband, for your relationship with your son, for your relationship with your coworkers, for your relationship with your sisters, for your relationship with your brothers, your father. Everything you do, you are putting an ingredient into your recipe of life. So whatever you put into that recipe is what you're going to get out. If you keep mixing mud into the recipe, you won't have a mud cake. It's just simple. Nothing scientific about that. But if you mix good thoughts, you want to get good, what they call a good cake. You want to eat from the good. You eat from the recipe, which you have put the ingredients in. So don't keep putting one thing and expecting something else. You can't keep putting chocolate into the cake and expecting to have a white icing coconut cake. That's not going to happen. You know, every seed reproduces after its own kind. Like I was saying last night, you have to listen to what he says. It's very simple. Whatever you say, you should have if you believe in your heart. As a man thinketh, so is he. Every seed reproduces after its own kind. Those are very simple statements. He didn't use any words that you couldn't understand, vocabulary that's just far and beyond your capability, that you got to stretch your mind, that you got to go to the dictionary and look it up. Very simple. Your words will not return to you void. Very simple. If you notice the things that Jesus said, most of them was maybe 1 to 7 words. Everything was very simple. It wasn't a lot of words. He'd give you a parable, give you a story, give you something to think about. But most of the instructions, very simple. So that's what you need to think about today. What am I putting into my recipe? Do I like the cake that I'm eating from? Cake represents your life. If I don't like that cake, then I need to change the ingredients. I need to do something different. Or I'm going to be eating the same cake next year. Now, sometimes when we start changing our ingredients, we want to say, want the cake to be baked overnight. We want it to be ready at 6 a.m. And we want to start eating the next day, immediately. So, you got some work to do. You got to change your mind. You got to change your attitude toward whatever it is that you want to be removed from your life. You got to replace it with something good. And that's a process. And once you decide that you want to change, that's the beginning of the process. Now you just keep putting some action behind it. Your words and your actions are going to reproduce a change. Simple. 1, 2, 3, elementary. But we get tired in the process. We don't want to withstand the stress, the pain. We just want it over. We want what we want when we want it quickly. But that's not the way it's designed. And then you think about it. If you don't look, you might as well do good. You might as well put in some good words into your life as opposed to putting in negative words, because negative words are going to keep you back. Stop listening to people that are not putting good seeds into your life. Why would you want to be around someone who's always talking you down? Always talking about you can't do it. Never have a good word. And you know in your spirit when they do it, it hits your spirit, but you just allow that to happen. And you keep coming back for more. So you keep accepting ingredients that you actually are not putting in yourself. You're just receiving them. Those are ingredients into your recipe. When there's a negative person that's in my life, I immediately start distancing myself. I back away. I'm talking to them less and less. Because I have enough problems trying to figure out words and keeping positive, energetic words in my mind. I don't need to be around someone else that's going to talk to me. That's why I don't look at television that much. If I'm looking at television, I'm looking at something that's going to talk about goodness, the goodness of God. I don't look at killing and murdering and cheating and all this kind of stuff, because if you do that, what you're doing, you add something that you really don't want into your recipe. You have to mind your mind. You have to make sure that you are receiving the right words. Be careful what you hear. Some people sit around and say, you know, and I'm not against soap operas, but if you look at soap operas and everybody's cheating and stealing and going with somebody else's husband, those thoughts are going to resonate in your mind. You don't want that. If you're looking at murder mysteries, those thoughts are going to come around in your mind. Those are ingredients that you are receiving, and you're saying it's okay. It's okay, because you keep watching it. So you accepted it, and you should have what you say. Some people will run you over to get someplace to watch a soap opera, to get that negative image into your mind. But, you know, as a man thinketh, so is he. So that kind of brings us to what we talk about when we talk about the formula. You know, it's a process, it's a blueprint. And then you have guidelines that teach you and instruct you. And you got instructions that give you the advice. And you got a step-by-step process, which is your pace. And it's a way of doing things. It's a method and it's a technique. So when you get all of these things mixed up, you have to realize that this whole recipe for your life, it's like baking a cake. You don't need to add anything or take anything away from it. The recipe is in the Bible. Don't add to what God says and don't take away what he says. Just take what he says and put it in the bowl and stir it up. And when I say stir it up, you're going to think on it. You're going to meditate on it. You're going to say those words. You're going to just keep stirring it up in your mind. You're going to add that so that it's in your conversation, that when you think, you're constantly meditating on his words. Eventually, you're going to start changing. your whole body is going to start changing. Your mind is going to start changing. Because now you're baking up a different cake. You're baking a spiritual cake. You're giving God something to work with. And last week I said to you, on the back, I wrote a book called Dream Recipe. And on the back of it, it says if someone gave you a recipe and told you it would, if you did exactly as it states, you would get the exact same end results. Would you use it? And you think about that. Most people would say, yes, I'd use it. But it sounds too good to be true. Well, it's not. When you get a recipe and you're baking a pound cake, and I'm not a baker per se, Lord knows my mother was, but the little bit that I do know, I'm an excellent cook. But when it comes to baking, there's certain things that I do well, like peach cobbler, you know, or certain things, you know, in that nature. I don't claim to be an excellent cake baker, but I do know. When you're doing a pound cake, it's a pound cake. It's not a pound and 1 ounce. So a pound and just an option of a little bit. No, it's got to be exactly what it says. It throws off the cake. And you look at your cake and you look at the next person's cake and say, wow, my cake, I did the same thing, but my cake doesn't look like your cake. Of course not. That's what you did. You didn't measure correctly. You left up the ounce, and it changed the equation. Or you put just a little bit more. It says, I think I want a little bit more butter in mine. Or I think I want a little bit more sugar because I really like it this sweet. You just changed the recipe. So you're not going to get the same cake. It may fall. Just that little thing can cause the pound cake to fall. So it's the same thing with your life. It's the little thing that confines the why. If people think it's the big things, it's not. It's the little things that you do. I'll just throw this in. That's why he said, don't change what God said. Say exactly what he said. Don't add not one word to it, and don't take one word away. But he said his word. Now, you're going to take your word and you're going to add a word to his word. That's not what he said. You're doing a little bit of God and a little bit of you. And as they say, how's that working for you? It hasn't worked for you. Why not just try doing all of God? Now, that's what I'm putting into my recipe now. And it's like, Lord, you said, and then I don't try to remember it. Because what happens when we think we're so smart, we're so godly, I've been doing church for years, I know this, I can quote this, I guarantee you, you will miss a word or you will add a word. It's better to put your eyes on the word and read it the way that he said it. Because the human mind, sometimes we think we know, when we look at it and go, oh, wow, yeah, I did. I missed that word. Well, that's a different ingredient than the ingredient that God gave you. So this week I'm challenging you to start writing at least 10 ingredients for your life. 10 ingredients. Get 10 out of the Bible that deals with love, forgiveness, honor, being patient. Just think of all the things that you may be challenged in. I could name a lot of them, but it may not be the ones that you're challenged in. I know the ones that I'm challenged in. So those are the ones that I go and seek. If you want a harvest in abundance, then you go look at all the promises he made about abundance and say just those things. If you're looking for healing, then you go look up all the healing, all the promises he made on healing. Each promise is an ingredient. say exactly what he said. That's how it works. Not your words, his words. And that's how you create your dream recipe. And in the midst of all of that, what you want to do is ask him, what am I baking? First of all, you got to know what you're baking. What kind of cake am I baking here, Lord? Because there's so many different kinds. There's a nut cake. There's a chocolate cake, coconut cake, pound cake, sakatumi cake, fruit cake. You name it. It could go on and on and on. You know your favorite cake. But you can name at least 10 different cakes. What am I baking here, Lord? What is my cake? See, once you know the cake, then you can go and start pulling in the ingredients because he's already told you this is what it is. So what? Go look at what he said about it. And usually your cake is built around your purpose. Your purpose for being here actually really is your cake. And if you have not figured out why you're here, you're going to be like the people in Egypt just running around in the wilderness. And you will wander around for another 40 years. And you won't find that peace. You'll always be seeking, trying to figure out, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. I just don't know. I just don't see, like, everything I try, it's just not working. See, but once you find out your purpose, doesn't mean that it's just going to be smooth sailing. But I can tell you one thing, it means that you'll have peace. If I don't have anything else, I have peace. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I still have the birthing pain. Because I don't know the extent into which God wants me to do this. And that means he's got to keep working on me. He's got to keep getting me ready. Because I know it's great. But to the fullness of it, I don't know. But he knows. And he knows that I'm not ready to take on all of that yet. So he's still working with me. But I know what it is. I don't have a doubt about that. And when he told me, he said, you have one last assignment. To be the last thing that you do. He told me this in 1997. Scared me, yes. I was like, wow, Lord, am I going to die? A couple years later, he came back and told me. It was ministering to mothers and daughters. And I know for a fact that's the last thing that I'll do. Because this is all that I want to do. And I could see it taking me right on out. I will be ministering to mothers and daughters until I leave here. This is my last assignment. I got it. So there's nothing else for me to do but keep working on the various ingredients and keep building and baking the cake. But at least you need to know what you're baking. It helps you go through the persecution of it because you know you're on the right track, and that's a piece on the inside of you that nobody can give you but God. I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm in my purpose. That's why I can do it 24/7. That's why most people around me think, wow, she can talk about mothers and daughters. It's like I dominate the conversation. I don't mean to. I am so full and just completely filled with the joy of knowing my purpose. And sometimes I get just a little excited about it. Because I know that I know this is my last assignment and the most important assignment of my life. As Cynthia said last night to the young lady that was there in the mothers, when she was talking about her mother, she said, of all the things, I never asked the question. And you should ask the question. See, we don't ask the question. And until you ask the question, you're never going to get the answer. When she asked her mother the question, her mother started just pouring out the information. She got information she didn't even knew was coming her way. But she asked the question, what happened? Until you go to the Father and ask the question, why am I here? What is my purpose? What do you want me to do? You'll never get the answer. Thank you for listening. I'll open up the line. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
All is well. All is well. Just wanted to thank you for inviting me to be part of such an awesome event last night. And lives was truly touched. Moms, you gave moms something to think about. And daughters that was there without their moms, you gave them something to think about as well. And I can only think about the last young lady who was an adult and her mom wasn't there, how she just broke out and just started wailing. Her mom has it's a recipe for disaster, and it has turned into a disaster, the relationship. And it was just so heartbreaking to see, because I've been there as an adult in tears about the relationship between my mom and myself. And it was just an incredible event. And you went back and you were talking about those secrets. And if we're not careful, and it often happens, we produce a recipe of disaster when we don't instill the right things in our daughters. And as the years go and people come into her life, people can't stomach her because there's missing ingredients in the lives of those daughters. There were so many things missing in my ingredients in my life, and I didn't know how to be the person that I needed to be. I wasn't seeking God. I always knew of God, and I was always telling God to come into my life, but I wasn't seeking the Word of God to replace those bad ingredients with the good ones. If you understand what I'm saying.
I understand.
And so all I knew is what was missing. I just knew that there were so many things missing. And in the interim, I kept trying different things to put in me to fill those voids, to create a new me. It was just getting more and more disastrous. And I just wasn't settled. And you know how a cake, you put a cake in the oven and it doesn't settle? It either sinks in the middle or it doesn't cook evenly.
Uh-huh.
And I was just so unsettled. This young lady last night, she was so unsettled. And you just heard her just wail. It was just, I my heart just went out to her because I've been there as an adult crying over the missing pieces or the missing ingredients in my life. Mm-hmm. And I thank you that you challenged her. And hopefully her and her mom is going to come to the taping next week because there is so much unsettledness in that relationship.
Yeah.
And my prayer this week is going to be that her mom and her show up in order to get the help that they need in order to heal that relationship.
Yeah.
And so I just want to just thank you again. I just want to say, incredible event last night, and I just look forward to just seeing what's ahead of us.
Yeah. You know, when I walked in and I saw that room full of mothers and daughters, you know, it's been a while since I've seen a room packed like that. And I looked around and I saw, of course, you know, it was based on some program Teen Pregnancy, and, you know, I wasn't thinking from that perspective. I thought, wow, there's so many teenagers in here. I don't know what I was thinking at the time. But they were so beautifully dressed, and everybody was sitting there. It looked like everything was just perfectly in order. You would have never thought anybody had a problem, you know?
Right.
And here we are.
Oh, we look good on the outside now.
Yeah.
You can put some icing on a messed up cake, and it looks real good until you cut that bad boy.
And you get a taste of it. Well, here I was looking around, and the young lady that you were talking about, I mean, they're working. They're there working for the organization. And they participating with each other in the activities. And all of a sudden, she told me what happened between her and her mother. And I said, okay, well, we need to talk to your mother about it. I said, because, you know, I'll come to your mother's house. You tell B, you call me, I'm coming. But that information, like I told her, I said, you're processing now. So call me, because I knew something was going to come up. I just didn't know it was going to come up that fast. And all of a sudden, she broke down. It took everybody to hold her up, and she probably didn't know what hit her. It was like she was carrying so much weight from that mother and daughter relationship that when I told her, you do not have to carry that. You know, mothers, we are not always right. And it's not fair for us to put a lot of pressure on our daughters because they are our daughters. Because you're my daughter, this, that, and the other. And when I told her that she did not have to carry all of that, that was not her responsibility, I think when she really got it, that was the breakthrough. And it just released off of her shoulders, and everything went out like a gush. Woof. It was a healing night last night.
And, you know, Dr. Fletcher, I'm sorry. And you know, she said, well, you know, because of what the relationship, I just distanced myself more and more. And I told her that's not the answer.
Mhm.
Because all that does is create more frustration, more resentment, and more anger.
Mhm.
Because who don't want to be in a relationship with their mom?
Mhm. Well, the one thing about this is I'll say this. Anybody else want to join in on the conversation, please click 1. But I will say this, is that we are doing a 90-day process with this particular group. And we're inviting a bunch of them to come to the taping this weekend because we're having the taping for the show. But every 30 days we're going to meet and then come back to get by conference in 30 days, another one 30 days, and then come back together. And they have assignments. They have things they need to work on in that relationship until we come back from the 90 days. But I thank God because what happened last night, all the mothers were saying to me, oh, my God, we have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to do. And that, to me, was fulfilling for my heart because I want people to know, this is no joke. Until we start healing these relationships with mothers and daughters, there's a lot of work to do. The world is not going to heal. It's impossible. But thank you for talking. I got another caller. Someone else want to chit-chat with us. Have a blessed day. Love you. Thank you for going with me last night. As usual, you're always there. Thank you, Sandra D. I know your heart and soul was there. I appreciate it. I'll talk back with you. Have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Love you much.
Love you too. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you,
Janice? I'm wonderful.
I'm fine.
Tired.
I just want to make a comment, and I just want to be brief. I just want to say I just thank God for the ministry and the calling you have put on your life, how to minister and to go out and really evangelize to us, to mothers and to daughters. And I just think it's a blessing. I was listening what you said about last night, but like you said, we're not always right. And, you know, we have to step aside and put our pride aside a lot of times and to admit and say, you know, I'm sorry, I did this in my past. Sometimes we try to build ourselves up to be a perfect person, and we're not in our children's eyes. And just like myself, like when my kids would say, Mama, you did this. And I said, well, you know, I ain't always been saved. So I just thank God how he has anointed you and appointed you, because a lot of times people can be anointed and they just hold on and don't do anything with the anointing that God has given them. They're scared to step out. But when he anoints you and appoints you to do something, that's a blessing when you follow through. When he anoints us and tell us or appoint us to do something and we don't do it, then we act in a state of rebellion. And I just want to just say thank God that he has you, and you are obedient to his call to do what he tells you to do, and that you do it with boldness. And you do it with, you know, from your heart, with a spirit of compassion. And that makes all the difference. You do it whether you get paid or you don't get paid. You do it because God has called you to do it. And I just want to just say stay strong, because we have to press, because it's not always easy. But we have to keep our eyes on the calling and on the prize God has given us and continue to press for it. So I just wanted to share that and say that. And let you know I love you.
Thank you. I just feel like you just actually put a blessing over my head. I received that. I mean, you know, hey. I really do. It just, the Holy Spirit just came on me as you were talking. It's like you put a covenant over my head. I appreciate it.
I just thank God for it.
People don't understand sometimes. It's just like you say, yeah, you can be anointed and you can sit on it. But, I, you know, it's not easy to go out. You don't have the finances to do everything that you do. I could easily stop because of finances. Lord knows it. You know, if I waited for money to do what I do, I would do nothing. But I don't look at money. I just go on, and I said, as long as you give me a meal to eat, I got breath in my body, I just keep moving. I mean, you know, because I know what he says is true. And I am blessed mm-hmm. abundantly, and I will meet up with that abundance. And all that's in it will be blessed. You know, it. You know, you think sometimes, well, Lord, if you told me to do this, where's the money? If you told me to do this, but he's just waiting to see if you're just going to do it from your heart. So when
right.
I get up in the morning, I do it from my heart. I don't do it expecting any money. I don't do it expecting no gifts from anybody. I just do it, and I said, God, if nobody's on here but me, you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, that's good enough for me. That's why I don't look at the switchboard. I don't care if nobody's on there at that moment when I'm talking. I just look at what God is telling me in my heart, and I speak. Then I come to the switchboard.
Right.
Because if I go to that switchboard and I'm looking at numbers, then I might not want to do it. So I always, I said, it's just going to be, you ask me to do it, and I'm going to do it, because this is a part of my training. He's training me. This is about getting me ready, and the rewards will follow. So I thank
That's right.
you for that, and I thank you for being on. You know, I know it's not easy. I know you have a busy schedule. Everybody does, and, you know, some people do and some people don't. But, see, God is going to remember those that have been on this journey and has helped me go through the wilderness with all this on my back. And, you know, sometimes when they come out to the end, people be like, well, you know, I knew it then and da, da, da. That's why, you know, you don't get a part of, you can't be under that cup, so the blessing don't drip on you. But I truly appreciate it, because you all get up on Saturday morning and it's not your calling. You get up and you support what God has asked me to do. All of you out there, you know who you are that calls and get up on Saturday mornings with me. I truly appreciate it, because that in itself just gives me a lot of strength. It encourages me to get up the next Saturday morning. So thank you so very much.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, I tell you, what a blessing. Oh, man, I tell you. When I go out on to do mother and daughter workshops and well, the healing ministry, we had to stop calling it workshops, actually, mother and daughter healing ministry, it takes a lot out of me. The spirit just to zap you of all of your energy, and it takes you a couple of days to, takes me a couple of days to get myself together, you know, and lay back, relax, and let your body and your mind and spirit kind of come back because you go through a supernatural experience. But even at that, you know, I could have said this morning, I'm tired. Oh, Lord, please, can I just skip the radio program today? Voice scratchy, throat sore. Can I just take a break? I didn't think about that. You know, I didn't think about what my voice is going to sound like. Does it sound good? No, it doesn't. I can tell it's cracking. I had the lemon juice this morning. It you know, scratchy inside. But, you know, when you think about all that Jesus went through, the pain, the suffering, the whips, the spit on, purging, 39 stripes, come on. What is a little scratchy voice for me to get up on Saturday morning and do this? This is nothing. It's a piece of cake. You know what I mean? When it comes to all that he has suffered for me, for you, and he asks you to do just one thing, and you're going to sit back and then wait, try to decide. But if you ever really get deep, you know, I know sometimes Janice says, I'm not trying to be deep now. She'll say that to you. I'm not trying to be deep and all that. But I want you to get deep. I want you to think. I want you to think about the suffering that Jesus did, that he took for us. Go back and look at the passion. If you don't know what it is and you can't get it in your mind's eye, look at the passion and just look at the in-depthness. They went into it because they really wanted you to know what he actually went through. And if you can look at that and you can come back and sit and do nothing, God bless you, because you're a better person than me. I don't care what he asked me to do. I'm going to be trying all, giving it all that I have to get it done. Because there's nothing. There's not even a, I can't even think, smallest, minute thing that will compare to what he has done for us. We want to get all the glory. We want all the things. But then we don't want to go through the process. We don't want any suffering. We don't want nothing to touch us. Just give me what I want. Supposing he had said that to the Father. I don't want to go through the suffering. I don't want to have to save all these people. Why should I have to do it? Even when he says, you know, if you can you take this cup? But you can't, okay, I got it. There used to be a time when you talked to God. Even the prophets could only talk to him once a year. Can you imagine that? None of the people could. Now everybody can talk to God. You have been given the key to the kingdom. You can go directly to the Father. So why are you thinking about whole pitiful me? Think about who can you feed? Who can you help? Fix a sandwich. Put a drink and some chips in a bag and ride out in the streets and give somebody lunch. Why don't you do that today? Think about that. I know you got some food in there that you don't eat. You got to throw it away. You might as well go out and feed the hungry. Take some clothes out of your closet that you're not wearing. Take them and give them to somebody. Be a blessing. Have a blessed week. I love you. I love you. And I'll see you next Saturday on Blog Talk Radio. Peace. place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. And remember, your words create your thoughts, and your visions will manifest into your reality.